2 Timothy chapter 3. We are out of chapter 2. As I was preparing and thinking about these things, I had to remind myself that our Bibles, the way that these are written, are divided for chapter and verse divisions for our ease of reading, if you will, or being able to memorize scripture or to kind of understand the thought progression of the writers, etc. But remember that when these were written, there were no chapters and verses, if you will. And so, honestly and truly, Paul is continuing his thought to Timothy. And last week, we talked about being at war, there's a real adversary. He is really wanting to take people captive. He is taking people captive, and we need to help set them free. We also need to help ourselves stay out of the snares of the devil likewise. And so as we continue on, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we will read responsively here verses 1 through 9. And I'll read the odd verses by myself. You can join me out loud on the even verses. I will begin in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 1, and you can join me in verse 2. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. I've got a long list of things here. Paul was specific. He wanted Timothy to know exactly what to look out for. You realize, folks, that as we are in these last days, and certainly they are going to be perilous days. And if you will, they're getting more and more perilous as we know it, if you will. But keep in mind, history, there have been, if you will, more perilous times than what we're experiencing right now, as far as Christianity is concerned. But I want you to know that there are going to be more perilous times as we get going. In these verses, in verses 2, verses 3, verses 4, verses 5, verses 6, 7, 8, all these verses, these are lost people. Okay? Now, we've studied through in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. They give warnings about false teachers, right? They give warnings about people who have known the faith, who have turned from that and are trying to undermine the things of God. But these verses here deal with just straight up evil, wicked, lost people that are going to oppose what we're doing. So I want to remind you that if you look up at the previous chapter to the things that he's talking about, he's saying, look, there are going to be people out there that are going to bring unlearned and foolish questions. There are going to be some times where you have problems with people. They're going to try to sway you. They're going to try to make you contend for your faith. You need to be ready for this to happen. He says in verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And so as we kind of give an introduction here, I want you to realize that This list of people, these people were going to have to work with, or if you will, watch out for, be around, if you will, because they are in this world today. Everybody understand that this is happening today. So I want to help us broaden our understanding of who these people are, first of all. When you look at verse 2, the first group, he says that these people are lovers of their own selves. And that just basically means that they are selfish. Okay? So the explanation is, these people are lovers of their own selves. They're selfish people. This particular word, this is the only time in Scripture, in the New Testament, that this exists. He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come, Timothy. These people in the last days are going to be lovers of their own selves. They're going to be so selfish that all they think about is themselves. Please understand that. And that's happening today. There are people today that the only care they have is their own benefit, their own preservation. And look, listen, it's going to get so bad that if you have a watch, okay, and they want that watch, they will kill you and take it, and it won't even faze them. Okay, they'll be lovers of their own. They will have no regard for anyone else. That's how bad this word is. This phrase, lovers of their own selves. The next word, and the next group, is simply a word. We say, oh, this is a word we know. Covetous. This one's easy. This is in the Bible all over the place. Well, kind of, but kind of not. This particular word is a specific word. And again, these are all properly translated. I'm not questioning that. I'm trying to broaden our sense of the English language. But this particular connotation of covetousness is particularly mentioned twice, and it's a lover of silver. Isn't that funny that such a unique word would be used? A lover of silver. Let me ask you a question. What comes to mind when I say silver, or maybe pieces of silver? Jewelry, but more than jewelry, Judas. How is he paid? Yeah, 30 pieces of silver. Hey, folks, listen to me. People are going to be all about money. What is prevalent? What are the schools preparing people for? Careers, right? To earn money. What's the main topic of discussion in our country today? The economy, right? I mean, is that still the main topic, I believe, right? Probably goes above all the other things. They're worried about, and what causes the most stress in people's lives? Yeah. What breaks up the marriages the most? Yeah, I mean, you just look at the statistics. They are going to be covetousness. This is not just wanting what somebody else has. This is a desire for wealth, for substance, particularly a lover of silver. The next word, again, boasters, but more specifically, a braggart. You know what a braggart is? Yeah, it's about them. Okay, they're bragging on their own abilities. And by the way, most people, they say, I'm a self-made man, or I'm a self-made woman, right? It's all about them. So it kind of goes in hand with the first one, lovers of them, of their own selves. And so these people, they are, if you will, so proud of who and what they are, they want to publicize and tell everyone that they are. They are boasters. The next group, they are proud. Now, this is not just a pride that you carry around. You know, you hold your head high. You have a confidence or maybe even an arrogance about you. And it's not even that type of pride. It is a lifting up, but it is a lifting up above others. So the connotation here, and this is mentioned five times in the New Testament, but this particular word means that I'm not just content with making sure that I'm seen. I want to be seen above everybody else. So it's even higher than just common pride. This is like uber pride. Okay, this is above what other people are. And guess what happens? In our world, when you have one person that wants to be seen, they rise up. Then what happens here? And again, and again, and again. Right? They just keep trying to one-up each other. Right? In our world today, when someone gets something nice, right? What does somebody else want to do? They want to get something nicer, you know? And they want to get something. Yeah. So no longer is it keeping up with the Joneses. It's trying to outdo the Joneses. Okay? That's what this word gives the connotation of. Now, going on, the next one is blasphemers. Now, I thought I knew what all these actually meant. And I do know what the words mean. But I want you to realize that there is something to look at beyond just the surface of the word. So you say, okay, blasphemers, these are people that hate God. And they're going to call out against God. And they're going to talk about God and how... maybe atheists or agnostics or people that are haters of God. That's true, actually, with this word, with one addition. Not only are they speaking out against God, these particular people are speaking out against God and man. How many of you knew that? I didn't before today, or before I studied it out. They are speaking out against God and man. Think about our society today. Not are people just upset with God and upset with Christians even. They're upset with anyone who opposes their ideology. I mean, these groups that are in opposition to God can't even get along. They're in opposition to each other. So these people are beyond just against God, they're against man. So think about this. There's environmental groups, which I don't understand this. Okay, I don't get it. Okay? They are so for nature, and they're against man. So I look at them and I'm saying, you know that you are a human being, right? So in other words, you're going to give up your life so that the spotted owls can live, right? Let's start with you. They don't like that, do they? Well, I'm talking about it. Okay, well, yeah. I just blew you apart and you didn't even know it. That's who these people are. Look at the next one. We know what disobedient is. It says disobedient to parents. This particular word, disobedient, is mentioned twice in the New Testament. It doesn't just mean to not obey. It also means to be unpersuadable. In other words, not only are they not going to obey, you're not going to be able to show them to obey or teach them to obey. You're not going to be able to persuade them to obey. You know, a child, when we as parents, or you as children, maybe when you were a child, when you were working with children, or you were being worked with as a child, hopefully, if you were disobedient, your parents were able to persuade you to be obedient, right? Or you as a parent were able to persuade your children or your students or whoever you were over as an authority to come to an agreement, right? To come into line, to come into authority, to come under obedience, you're able to persuade them. These people are unpersuadable. You cannot persuade them. They are not only in defiance, they're going to continue to be in defiance. The next group, these are unthankful. Now, you understand to be unthankful is to not be thankful for something. Right? Okay? But these people are beyond just not being thankful for something. The word here used is thankless. Without thanks. So not just unthankful, but totally and completely void of any gratitude. Wow. That's the kind of people. Unholy is not just without holiness. This word used twice. Unthankful, this same word used twice. Disobedience, used twice. Boaster, twice. Covetousness, twice. Lover of self, one time. The next one, I'll just run through these stats so in case I forget. The next one, without natural affection, twice. Truce breakers, twice. Incontinent, once. Fierce, once. Despisers, once. Traitor, three times. Heady, twice. High-minded, twice, or three times. The other ones, 30, some of them in the 30s, used, sometimes five times used. But all these words here, and we're going to go to it in just a moment, Romans chapter 1. These people, unholy, are the same that are wicked. Okay, not just without holiness, but wicked. Now, how many of you you can say, hey, you know, you're wrong, right? How many of you have been wrong before? Okay. You've made bad choices. You've sinned against God, right? But how many of you can kind of take that and say, you've been bad, or you're wrong, or you've been disobedient? All those words, they cut a little bit and they hurt. But when somebody walks up to you and says, you are wicked. I mean, that's a hit. Right? Or, you're evil. I mean, those words cut to the core. So to say that these people are unholy, they are wicked. Without natural affection. I thought I knew what this meant. But this just means hard-hearted, but not to what you think it is. This has nothing to do with any kind of sexual type sins. This just has to do with relationships. This is hard-hearted toward kindred, specifically. Hard-hearted toward kindred. That's what it means without natural affection. So, mother, father, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, family, kinfolk. Hard-hearted towards your family. Now, isn't that going on today? Huh? So, that's who these people are. By the way, these are the men, these are the, if you will, the people of the day. These are the general population, the lost, if you will. This is going to be what we're up against. Trying to preach the gospel to them and show them Jesus Christ. This is why Paul was telling Timothy, Timothy, you've got your work cut out for you. Do you understand what I'm trying to display today? Folks, we have our work cut out for us. And God, look, folks, I'm telling you, this is a long list. There's a lot of words to look up. But I want you to understand, I'm thankful for technology, number one, okay? But let me just tell you something. We got to understand what we're going up against so we can win them to Christ. So we can fight a good fight. So we can have a successful warfare in this battle that we're in. So that we can instruct those that oppose themselves. Peradventure, God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. They're truce breakers. These are people that are unable to be appeased. You cannot appease them. I mean, I don't know how many times I've said it, but I've said it a lot. You cannot reason with unreasonable people. So these are people that you cannot please. You cannot appease them. You can't give a good enough argument. You can't give a good enough discourse. They're still going to oppose. They're truce breakers. They are unable to be appeased. This next word, they're false accusers. Now, this does mean slanderer. They're slanderers. They're false accusers. They don't care what mud they sling. But please be careful. This is not just a common word. It's used 38 times in the New Testament, and most of the time it's associated specifically with the devil. So not only is this attributed to man, but it's something attributed to man that's of a demonic nature. They're false accusers. So something supernatural about this. I mean, how many of you have noticed in our world today, maybe in YouTube videos or things where you've seen debates and whatnot, there are these people out there that they don't care what lies they tell, they don't care how they tell them, and they've told them so much that they believe them themselves, they are slanderers, and it's demonic. Okay? That's who this is talking about. The next one is a fun word. Incontinent. And that simply means without any self-control. They have no self-control. They're out of control. And this word is used one time. Not only are they out of control, completely out of control, by the way, which means not only can they not control themselves, no one else can control them either. They're rogue. They're a loose cannon, if you will, right? Because it goes with the next word. The next word is not only are they incontinent, they are fierce. Now, the word that goes with this one is very interesting. Not only does it mean fierceness, it also means savage. Anybody study history? Okay? Our culture, right, considered some other cultures, even here in our country, savage. And I'm not saying that was a good use of the word for them. I'm just trying to help paint a picture. But do you understand, to us as Christians, the way some lost people act is savage. There's a fierceness to it. In other words, they would be glad to see you dead. You understand the social events that we just experienced this last week. Can I tell you something? That's savage. That's fierce. And that's what we're dealing with today. They're despisers of those that are good. Now, we all think we understand this one, right? When we despise something, we have a hatred for it, right? Or a negative outlook upon it. But these people are worse than that. They are actually not just unhappy about it, They're not just mad about it. This word has the connotation of being hostile. Or hostile, however you'd like to say that, okay? I like hostile. I think it's more fun to say it that way. So not only are they going to be upset about it, they're going to be upset about it and do something. So they're not just going to despise you. They're not just going to say, oh, I don't like you. Don't like you. Okay? I despise you, John. You're despicable. Okay? Dad agrees, okay? No. They're going to be hostile. They're going to get up and they're going to, I don't like you. Shake him around like a rag doll, you know? Did you like that? they're gonna be hostile. They're not just gonna be despised of those. When you do good, they're gonna do something. They're gonna get physical. They're gonna get downright mean and unseemly, and that's how it's gonna be. They're going to be traitors, it says. They're going to betray. That's what that word means, is to be a betrayal. Hey, folks, listen. Do you know that there are people out there that are so divisive that they'll pretend just to get at you? So that they can slip in, undermine, and betray. That's what these people are described as. The next word is they are heady. Okay? No. Maybe some of you or some people you know, you've used this word before. It's kind of an older type word, if you will. But to be heady just means to be rash. Okay? And by the way, when you say someone is rash, right? It doesn't mean that they have red spots on their body. Okay, not a rash. Okay? But they're rash, which means they make what? Yeah. And usually they're not the right ones. Or they jump to conclusions, right? Or they're quick to respond, and usually it's in a negative fashion. That's what it means, that they're heady. They're high-minded. I love this, looking at this word. When we think of high-minded, we think of somebody that thinks they're above everybody else, right? But the word described here, and the description of it, is to envelop with smoke. So think about that, right? So not only are they trying to kind of, they think that they're above everybody, but it's a smoke and mirrors. It's a facade. So they're high-minded. But they're really not, right? They're really low-minded. You see what I'm saying there? So that's what that word kind of means. There's a high-mindedness, but it's a false pretense of it. So they're enveloped with smoke. The next one here, they are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And all this particular phrase means of where their fondness of things lie. So they have a fondness for pleasure rather than a fondness for God. Now, things that we're fond of, right? We have them around, those things around us. Like, I'm very fond of ice cream. So I'm going to have ice cream around me. So sometimes I explain my search of things in Sunday school this morning. I'm the kind that just sometimes gets a notion in my mind and I've just got to have it. Sometimes it's ice cream. So I always try to have ice cream on hand. Okay? So I have a fondness. So what is the world going to keep close to them? The things they're fond of. The pleasures of this world. And guess what? We as Christians are supposed to stay away from that. And we're supposed to be close to who? We're supposed to have a fondness. We need to keep God and the things of God close to us. Folks, listen to me. You should rather want to be at a church event than at a baseball game. Why? Because it's a fondness for the people of God and the things of God, not the pleasures of the world. Again, I'm not against a baseball game. But I'm telling you, if I've got to choose between a church event and a baseball game, I'm going to choose the church event. Why? Because I have a fondness for the things of God and the people of God. And if you're drawn away by other things, then guess where you're showing your fondness lies? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's how it's supposed to. So these people, they have a fondness. They love the pleasures of this world more than they love God or the things of God at all. They have a form of godliness. And the word says, but denying the power thereof. That word denying means to contradict. To contradict. So they have a form of godliness. They may even acknowledge God of some sort. But with their lives and the way that they live and the way that they actually exist in their life, they're contradictory toward that belief. So they say they live a certain way or believe a certain thing, but they actually live another way and believe something different. There's a contradictoriness to it. They deny the power thereof. And then Paul says, simply, after this colon here, from such, turn away. Now, if we go back to what he said in chapter 2, he says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strifes. Folks, we've got to realize that once we recognize these characteristics, you're not going to get through to these people. What are we supposed to do? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. These things are all truths. But I'm not supposed to stay put, if you will, and keep hitting my head against a brick wall concerning these. I'm supposed to find out what they are. I'm supposed to recognize these things. And it says, from such, turn away. Don't get trapped. In other words, these people, these things in the perilous times. By the way, why do you think he says they're perilous times? Perilous things are snares to entrap you and to get you caught in the devices of the devil. These people with all these particular characteristics are the enemy. And with the things I just said to you, things like slander, savage, hostile, wicked, against God and man, lovers of silver, lovers of things, rash, enveloped in smoke, all folks, those are all divisive things meant to destroy the people of God. Did you look at verse 6? For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. They're creeps. I had one person tell me one time, and I took offense to this because of the word. He said, Brother Combs, you're creepy. I'm like, I don't think I like that. Now, I don't mind if something, Brother Combs, you're weird. Weird, I love weird. Weird is great. Peculiar, I love peculiar. But I don't think I like creepy. Right? Doesn't creepy bring... creepy brings with it something different than weird. Right? Creepy brings with it something different than peculiar. I want to be peculiar. We're supposed to be peculiar people, right? I want to be weird. I don't want to join in with the crowd. I want to stick out like a sore thumb, right? But I don't want to be creepy. Creepy's creepy. I hope I'm not creepy. Do any of you think I'm creepy? Now, weird, how many of you think I'm weird? Let's take a vote. Okay, good. Peculiar? Come on. Shower me with compliments here. Okay. Like, I know I'm an odd duck. Quack, quack. Okay. But I don't want to be creepy. Because that's, creepy's divisive. Creepy's, the devil's a creep. These people are creeps. They creep into houses. In other words, they don't want to get caught. They want to accomplish their task. They're going to sneak around. They're going to go under things. They're going to go around things. When I think of creep, I think of bugs. Ladies, do you like things? The thought of things, the creeping around? Creeping things, right? Snakes? The devil? I think the devil's the biggest creep there is. Right? These are creeping in. They're trying to lead. By the way, here's that word captive again. Lead captive. Who wants to captivate? The devil. He's trying to lead them taken captive by him at his will. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So these are people that we've got to watch out for. People with hard hearts. Remember that one? Without natural affection? Hard-hearted toward kindred. We're supposed to avoid, turn away, because they're dangerous. Now go to Romans 1. I told you we'd end there. I got 2 minutes. That's not Romans, that's Job. Romans chapter 1. I didn't move my Bible marker. Look at this. You're going to notice some of these. I'm just going to read this. You're going to notice some of these words here, okay? Paul starts out, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So that's all great, right? Everybody's okay with that. That's what we're supposed to be. Preachers of the gospel, not ashamed, willing to tell everyone. And by the way, you ought to be willing to tell everyone. And go out and give out the gospel. Because from my faith to what they receive by faith is how it works. Giving out the gospel, seeing people saved, them believing in God, all of this is right. Look at verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So they're believing an alternate truth. You understand what I say by what I? You understand what I'm saying when I say that? We have the truth, which is God's point of view, and we have an alternate truth, which is man's point of view. They believe the lie, right? The devil's a liar. He's a deceiver. They believe that, and by the way, don't be too critical of people. They're lost. And they really believe that truth. I was talking to someone, I think it was Aiden. Aiden, we were talking about this out soul winning, remember? And we talked to that guy who was a Hindu. Wasn't he a Hindu? Or Buddhist or whatever he was. And I was telling Aiden, I said, this man, that's all he's ever been taught and known. So he thinks it's true. He's never been told any other truth. And so, you understand what this is talking about, okay? So the truth in unrighteousness. He says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things from him, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. Okay, so listen to what these, we're going to see a lot of these words that we saw in Timothy. And those numbers that I told you, the ones that are mentioned two times, well, it's in Timothy and here. Listen to this. Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. There's the creeps again. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lusts of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Do you see these things? Look at verse 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. There's that one again. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. There's that one again. Implacable. Ooh, that's a fun one, right? Unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. All I want to do, churches, today is to continue our thought. Why do we need to know this, Pastor? Why is this important to continue? Because we've got to study. To show ourselves approved unto God. If we're going to be successful as a vessel of honor in the hands of God, we've got to recognize and know the characteristics and the devices of the devil, the snares, those that oppose themselves. And we need to pray, and we need to ask God for wisdom. Because let me ask you a question. How do you know when enough's enough? I mean, I'm a pretty bold person. I'm kind of a bulldozer type, you know, bull in the china shop kind of thing. Sometimes I need to know when to back off, when enough's enough. But I don't know if I do. I have to ask God to help me. Paul says to Timothy, "Look, Timothy, you recognize these people from such." Turn away. Watch out. Because they're creeps. They're going to creep into houses. They're going to try to do what they can. But I love the promise in verse 9. God says, but they shall proceed no further. Aren't you glad for that? But what do we have to do? We have to stand. We talked about the whole armor of God. We have to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, Christians, we've got to be aware. We got to get our head out of the sand and pay attention to what's going on in our world today. And we've got to go forward for Christ. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war.